Guys, I've never ever spoken in a situation quite like this before. Loving it. Outside, it's well good. You guys had a good week? Yeah? And I know it's like the last day, so some of you are probably already thinking about packing up and going home. But I'm excited to be here this afternoon. If you don't know me, I'm Susie, and with Zeke, we head up Jimmy and the Impossible, and I also work for my local church as well. But I want to jump straight in this afternoon because I want to leave some time to pray after I've spoken, because the seminar is called The God of the Impossible. And I love that you're here because you know what? God wants to use each one of you. And Zeke was talking about that this morning. The guys this week have been talking about it all week. Because I believe that following Jesus is an invitation for God to use you to do the impossible, like in you and through you. And so I want to start off just by sharing some stories with you. And this first story happened to me when I was a student. So it was years back now. And I was in Nottingham. And we used to go out and do Blessing the Community projects. Any of you did those in your churches? Yeah, so we basically used to say, hey, we're Christians. We'd knock on people's doors. We'd say, hey, we're Christians. And we just believe that Jesus loves you and we want to show his love to you. So is there anything we can do to help? And normally they'd say, oh, yeah, we could help you with the garden or with the washing up or something like that. And these guys, when we got to this one particular house, they said, oh, no, none of that. But our drains are blocked. Do you do drain unblocking? And I was like, no, we don't do drain unblocking. And the friend I was with was like, oh, yes, we do. Let's go to B&Q. So you know that, the hardware shop. So we go to B&Q and get these giant black rods that you like shove down the drain. And we come back to this house and we get out the back, around the back of this house. And the drains are like these big square boxes. And they're full of what I can only describe was like gone off chicken korma. Honestly, it was disgusting, guys. It stank so bad. And there was like not one of them, there was a couple of them. And so we get these rods and we've got our hands like down them, like trying to clean these drains for I don't know how long it was, hours and hours. I was well grumpy. When I suddenly thought, has anybody actually prayed? And so what happened was we were like, no, we actually haven't. So I just said, and almost as a joke, I just said, in the name of Jesus, drains unblock. And what happened to this day is still a surprise. It actually happened. This noise was like, and the drains just totally unblocked before my eyes. Absolutely crazy situation. Or another story, there's a couple of lads in our youth group called Elliot and Sean, and they come along to one of our gatherings and they'd had like an encounter with Jesus that had really sort of set them on fire. And they came back and they're at school and their mate's got a headache. And they're in school and they're talking about creation. And their mate says to them, oh, well, we don't believe in creation. We don't believe God created the world. And these lads turn around. They say to their mate, if we pray for you now and God heals your headache, will you believe in God? Which I think is a pretty bold thing to be saying in a science lesson at school. And so they just go for it there and then in the classroom. And their mate gets healed of a headache. Or another story, I shared it the other night when we gathered together, one of our young people had eczema. And it was so bad that honestly, it was down her sort of knees, behind her knees, her arms, her hands, so bad that her hands couldn't even open. And again, her friends prayed for her and instantly she was healed. And these stories, guys, what they are is they're stories, aren't they, of like incredible power, God's incredible power, like drains unblocking, headaches going, eczema disappearing. And there's so many other stories I could tell you, power stories, moments where like the impossible happens, moments where we see the God of the impossible break in. And I want to talk just a little bit about how does that happen, because you know, how do they happen? Is it like we've all got, like Andy said yesterday, all got different types of superpowers? And if we have superpowers, have I got the chicken korma unblocking superpower? In which case, I'd rather be able to fly. But the thing we've got to make really clear is that none of us are magicians. You know, we're not there with a magic wand wafting that around. We do it because of God's power, and we can't do it without him. And so the first thing you've got to understand when you're exploring what it looks like to be walking with the God of the impossible, is that the power is his. It's always his. It's not about you. It's about him. And so think about just for a moment, like the most powerful thing you've ever experienced. Maybe it's like when you're on a runway, you know, the plane's just like whizzing down the runway. Or maybe in the Olympics when the weightlifters are lifting those, you know what I mean, those big, like big old weights. Because God's power, it's so much bigger than any of those things. And so I want to talk just a little bit about a passage in Ephesians. So if you've got your Bible, just dig it out. See some of you taking some notes. And if you don't know anything about Ephesians, it's in the New Testament. A guy called Paul wrote it. And he wrote this book whilst he was essentially chucked in prison for his faith. And he says this, verse 18, he says this. It's a prayer. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power, this is the power we're talking about, God's power, is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And so Paul is saying here, I love this passage, it's essentially saying the same power, right, that rose Jesus from the grave lives inside each one of us. And he's so much more powerful than we can possibly get our heads around. And it's when we're singing, you know, when we sang last night, what a beautiful name. There's no rival, no equal. What a powerful name, the name of Jesus. And so my prayer for you guys this week here at Soul Survivor is that you would understand. You'd understand the greatness of God's power, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And you would experience it not only here at Soul Survivor, but as you go back to your schools, your colleges, your apprenticeships, your churches, that you'd understand that. Because the Holy Spirit, as Andy spoke about yesterday, lives inside each one of us. And sometimes we can be, as Christians, we can sort of look to the people, to youth leaders or people in authority, and think they're the ones who've got the power. Have any of you ever thought that? They're the ones who can do this stuff, but perhaps I've got like a half measure or something, but it's not true, you know, because back in Ephesians 1 verse 13, it says this, when you believed in Christ, so when you became a Christian, he, that's Jesus, identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit whom he promised long ago. And so Paul is saying that there's this transaction that happens when we come to know Jesus, it's Ephesians 1:13, when we come to know Jesus, that he takes the guilt and the sin and the shame, and in transaction for that he gives us life, and in the process of that he gives us the Holy Spirit. And it's absolutely incredible, because God himself comes and makes a home inside our hearts. And so without the Holy Spirit, we can't do anything. And to help explain this to you, who here has ever run out of phone battery? Yeah, anyone now in that situation? I know, it's horrendous, isn't it? And for me, I love my phone. And whenever it runs out of battery, it's just not good, because I love taking selfies. I think I've got like 2,000 selfies on my phone or something. And I know it's quite kind of strange, but you can't send any texts, so you can't go on Instagram, anything like that. And one time, has anyone actually ever ruined their phone? Do you know what I mean? Like the battery's gone. I went on this bike ride, and we started out. You know, if you've ever gone on a bike ride and you think, oh, I'm going to go a couple of miles, but then you end up going further, and it's just a totally negative experience. Well, this was that, because we ended up doing 26 miles. I thought I was going to die. I have a heart attack or something. And what happened was, it started raining and it's chucking it down. And my phone, it got so wet that I didn't realise it got wet. And I plugged it in and the battery got absolutely fried. And so for the next week, I was carrying it around in like a rice Tupperware. Have you done that? Praying over it, praying for resurrection power, but nothing happened. It was absolutely dead. And it was so bad that we were so wet that when we got out of the car, it was like puddles where we were sitting. It was disgusting. But the phone was dead. And without it, it wouldn't charge. It wouldn't do anything. Nothing on that phone would work. And I want you to think of that illustration, because it's a little bit like that with the Holy Spirit. Because spiritually, without the Holy Spirit, there's no battery charge, no power, and nothing works. And so for us, when, as Andy talked about yesterday, when we meet the Holy Spirit for the first time, it's like we get the charged battery. God's power comes and lives inside of us, but we have to be continually filled over and over again. And if you think of the apps on your phone, I don't know what your favourite app is. Mine at the moment is Lemmings. I don't know if you've played it, but it's amazing. It's quite old school. But think about your apps in a spiritual sense. What could they be like? If you think of the Holy Spirit as the battery, the apps could be things like healing, or speaking in tongues, or praying for your mates, or fruits of the Spirit, things like love and joy and peace and patience. And it's the Holy Spirit that enables those apps to work. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Because without the Holy Spirit, there's no power. And it goes a little bit further, because there's no point having a phone if you don't keep plugging it in. You know, this phone, if I didn't plug this in till a festival next summer, I would not be able to do anything for a whole year. It'd be absolutely ridiculous. And when the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, it talks about us being filled over and over and over again. And that's what it says in Ephesians 5. I love this verse. It says, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Direct. I love it when the Bible's direct. I think it includes cocktails and beers as well. Don't be drunk on wine, guys. It will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourself, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And when you look at that Bible, what it's going on about in a bit more detail, what it's saying is, guys, be filled and keep being filled. Be filled and keep being filled. It's a little bit like what Andy was saying yesterday, saying get charged up, meet Jesus, and then keep staying charged up over and over again. And so I think this environment at Soul Survivor, it's a little bit like a supercharging environment. You know, you guys that were in the meeting last night, it was crazy, wasn't it, when we saw God's power come in a really powerful way, meeting with people, setting people free, being healed. Some of you will have experienced that yourselves. It's like a supercharging environment. But it can't just be about being here at Soul Survivor, because this is 5 days out of 365 days. And 366 if it's a leap year, which is not this year. Well, I don't think it is. No, not this year. Because if you go from being here at Soul Survivor, all the things that God's done in your life, that the way you've seen him move in your life, the God of the impossible has come in and he's broken into your life this week. If you just go home and you don't act on that, you don't keep being refilled, then nothing will happen in the course of the year. And so I want to, urge you, that's the word the Bible uses in many places, urge you to find yourself in situations where you're being filled with the Holy Spirit. Do it in your youth groups. Do it at home on your own. Make it a priority when you'd rather be watching Netflix, when you'd rather be out with your mates. Those things are good things as well, but make it a priority to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if you want to see the God of impossible break through into your lives, you need to understand that you need his power. You can't do it in your own strength. It's his power in our weakness. And you need it for you personally, but you also need it for the world. And I just want to talk about those two things before we pray. Because the Holy Spirit is the person who transforms us. Think of those spiritual apps like peace and healing and wholeness. I want to have more of that in my life. Do you guys want to have more of that? You know, peace. I want to know peace. I want to know joy. And kindness and faithfulness. And no matter who you are, what you've got going on in your life, God is able to come and do the impossible in your life. And a few years ago, I had a situation where God came and intervened in my life. And I used to be really scared of dogs. And who here is like a dog lover? Yeah. Oh, my word, I'm preaching to, this is going to go wrong. But I used to hate dogs. And I was really scared of them because I got bitten when I was like really young. So I was really, really scared. And when one came in, if one came now, I would be on the bench standing up. And it was a nightmare. And wherever I go, I'd be like, is there a dog there? And if there was, I just wouldn't go. Anyway, one time I was in a meeting, a little bit like last night, and no one was praying for me. But I just said, Holy Spirit, would you come and meet with me? And what happened is, in that moment, God came. It wasn't dramatic on the outside. No one would have known. But I got healed of the fear of dogs, literally in that moment. So much so that I said to my mate, I said, I think today I've been healed of the fear of dogs. And she looked at me and was like, what is wrong with you? What's going on? I said, I think we need to go round and try and find some dogs to see if it's actually true. So we go to the park and I'm walking along and the dog's just there. And it's not like for me today, I haven't got a dog and I don't especially want one. But sorry for those of you that got one. But God he's healed me of that fear. And it was a moment of being filled with the Holy Spirit where God wanted to come and do something inside of me to change me. And so I want to encourage you, for the things where you've got hang-ups, where you've got insecurities and places where you need healing and freedom, that the God of the impossible is able to come and do the impossible in your life. a few years back, we had the lad in my youth group who had a dairy allergy, and he'd not been able to eat like cheese or pizza or ice cream, nightmare. And one night, some friends of his just laid hands and prayed for him, and in the instant, he was healed from the dairy allergy. Amazing. Where do you need God's power in your life? If you're writing notes, perhaps write that down. Where do you need God's power in your life? Because some of you are struggling with stuff that God actually could free you from. And we know, don't we, that sometimes, like in that situation with the dog, when we get prayed for, we get healed straight away. Other times we don't. I had a situation where we had one of our youth gatherings and our conference was opening. And I was at the side of the stage feeling like I was ready to go. I was like all pumped up. The countdown came on. And I kind of ran onto the stage, which was the first bad problem, ran onto the stage and I stacked it. And so the lights came on, the opening night of the conference, and I was just on the floor. And everyone was laughing, I think, at me, not with me. And I got up and I said to my mate, I said, I think I've like broken my shoulder or something. And it was a nightmare. And to this day, this shoulder is not properly fixed. It's okay, obviously I can raise it and everything, but it's not properly fixed. And it's been prayed for time after time after time after time. And I think when it comes to choosing to press into the God of the impossible, we've got to be willing to know that sometimes we don't get healed or our prayers don't get answers in the way we want. But we're going to see God do more the more we pray, the more we ask. So every time someone says, can I pray for your shoulder? I say yes, because you know, you never know when God might choose to heal it. So keep staying charged, keep being filled, keep chasing after his presence, because it's in his presence that we're changed. And so we do it by asking him over and over again. So you need it for you in your life. You also need it to change the world. We're back on. And you know, in the Bible, when Jesus' disciples got filled with the Holy Spirit, everything changed. Okay, they went from being these kind of lame guys to being guys who were filled with boldness and courage. And like Peter gets up to preach and 3,000 people come to know Jesus just in one day. Because it said this in Acts 1 verse 8, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, which was close, throughout Judea a bit further, in Samaria a bit further, and to the ends of the earth. And so they wait, and the power comes. And they see, if you've read the New Testament, if you haven't read it, go home, read your Bibles. You see story after story after story of what God is doing. The God of the impossible breaking in, blind eyes open. You see people who were broken being restored. There's this unbelievable community where people prefer each other and put each other first. And it's out of that the church started. And we sit here today, 2019, because of that courage and the boldness and the power that filled the disciples. And you might be thinking, yep, you know, it's good for those guys. They got it. They understood. But for you guys, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, that the same power, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that filled those early disciples, if you're here and you know Jesus, that power lives inside of you. It's crazy. This stuff is crazy. And it's like, guys, we've got to get it, because we are the hope for the world. Jesus is the hope for the world, and he uses us to see people set free. And just last night, we got back to the hotel and Zeke was faffing with his talk. We couldn't work the iPad. And we got talking to the receptionist and we were chatting, and the lady had, it was dry eyes, wasn't it? And I knew I was speaking on this today, and Zeke was speaking, and I thought, as soon as she started talking, I was like, oh no, we're going to have to pray for her. And it was late, I really wanted to be in bed, but I thought, you know what, either we believe that God's power lives inside of us, or we don't. And if we do, we've got to take the opportunities when the opportunities come. So I just leant across, there was like this big old desk, and I leant across and I just said, hey, Leslie, has anyone ever prayed for you before? And she said, no, but I wish they would. I mean, that's a great response. Top tip, has anyone ever prayed for you? It's a great response when you ask that question to people. So she said, do I need to do anything special? And I said, well, I'm just going to get out my prayer mat. And I was joking. I said, you can close your eyes or you can just stare me out, whatever you want. And as we started to pray, we prayed simple prayers. It was nothing like big religious language. We just said, hey, Jesus, we thank you that you love Leslie. Thank you that you're here. Thank you that you heal. And just speak right now to that eye and say, in the name of Jesus, would you come and bring healing? Thank you that you love her. Come and show up in power. And as we prayed, the lady just visibly started to experience God's presence. It wasn't super dramatic, but you could just see it on her face. Like Mike was saying this morning, a peace came on her. And so I said to her, well, how's your eye? Is it any better? And she just looked at us and she said, she sort of gave me a look and she said, I don't want to say it, but when you started talking about God, like my eye, it's like, she was like doing this thing, wasn't she? Like checking her eye out. And her eye, obviously we didn't see her this morning, but in that moment, her eye was noticeably better. The moment of the God of the impossible just stepping in when we're willing to take a step out. Because the main thing I want to encourage you to do is to have a go. To have a go, because what's the worst that can happen? You ask to pray for your friend and they don't get healed. That's the worst that can happen. But in that moment, whether or not they get healed or they don't, whether or not the outcome's what you want it to be, they can encounter something of the presence of God. And that's ultimately is what they need to know. God's love, his peace, his patience, his kindness. So get your spiritual phone out. Click on the apps. Think about, click, I want to pray for someone for healing. Click on boldness. Ask God to fill you. Click on tongues. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you. Click on to hearing God's voice. Have a go. If you get a prophetic word, have a go at sharing it. Keep using them. And don't worry if you make mistakes. There's loads of times. You know, the first time I went to pray for somebody, do you know what happened? First aid had to carry them out. I'm not joking. I was praying for them and I don't quite know what happened. They were German and I was also trying to speak in German, which I didn't know very much German. So it was so awkward and I was praying for them. And then, as I said, first aid carried them out. I don't know what happened to them to this day. I hope they didn't die. But no, they didn't. They definitely wouldn't have done. But don't let those little setbacks hold you back. Don't let the setbacks hold you back. My neighbour, she doesn't know Jesus. The amount of times I've offered to pray for her, I've even bought her a Bible, she's got a Bible, and every time I offer to pray for her, she says no. But I'm going to keep going because I believe that the same power that raised Jesus from the grave lives in me. So have a go and keep going. Because the more you have a go, the more you'll see. You know, if you want to see somebody healed, if you pray for one person, then you may or may not see them healed. But if you pray for 100, your chances of seeing more people healed goes up. The more people you pray for, the more you'll see God start to heal. And so just for a moment, think about what the world would look like if you were as addicted to your spiritual apps on your phone as you were to your actual phone. If we gave as much time to wanting to pray for healing or for words of knowledge as we did to be on Instagram or on Facebook or on Snapchat or on WhatsApp. And I'm not having a go about all those things. I love all those things. But it's a challenge because if we believe this stuff here at Soul Survivor, we have to believe it when we go back home. Because you need Jesus and the world does. You know, they don't need, your friends don't need more stuff. They don't need a better set of exam results. They need life in Jesus now and for eternity. And what happens when people get healed is often they see Jesus through you having a go. And coming into land now before we pray, but there's some research that our friends at Youth for Christ did. And I read it just the other week. And it says that 95% of guys your age don't know Jesus. 95% of young people in this country don't know Jesus. And so how are the 95% going to find out? Because you are best placed. You are the best placed person to tell your friends about Jesus. You're the best placed person to say, hey, I believe in the God of the impossible. Why don't I introduce you to him? It's not me because I'm not in your classroom, not in your school, not in your workplace. It's you because Jesus has chosen you in your unique situation, wherever that might be, to go in his power to change the world. And an article I read in the newspaper the other week, it said that Britain's teenagers were the most unhappiest in Europe. And you guys know this. Some of you are struggling with things yourself, but your friends are struggling with addiction, depression, self-harm, low self-esteem. They're hurting, they're broken, and many of them are living without hope. And so as we step into the God of the impossible, as you step in and step up and have a go, you could see God move in power. Because you're walking around with this incredible power inside of you. And so we can't just have this amazing time here at Seoul. We can't go home and when our friends say, what were you doing? You say, camping? And you know, have a little confidence, guys. The power, that same power that raised Jesus from the grave lives inside of you. So it's not I went camping. It's like, no, I went to this amazing camping event, which was horrendous because camping's awful. But I met with Jesus there. And let me tell you what the God of the impossible did in my life. And would you like me to introduce you to him? Because he really is the God of the impossible. And when the Bible says you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, it's not this vague thing, it's a promise. Don't let fear get in the way. Fear is a horrible thing. It can paralyze us and stop us from having a go. You're good enough to be used by God. Don't believe the lies that you're not. It's a load of rubbish. God is longing to fill you guys afresh with his presence. And I want to encourage you that I'd love, you know, if I was to meet you a year down the line, for you to have stories after stories after story as to what God has done in your life. And I'd love to be able to share stories as to what God has done in my life, because I want to be constantly taking risks as well. God is the God of the impossible. And my prayer for you is that you grab hold of this invitation to do the impossible with both hands and see God do the impossible in you, in your life, and through you. So we're going to pray. I think we can't talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit and God doing the impossible without praying. It's just crazy. So Zeke's going to come and help me. Do you want to stand? And I know some of you, you're just wrecked. You're so tired. But God's here right now. And if you're up for it, why don't you just close your eyes? There's nothing magical about it. It just helps you to focus on God and not on me and this massive screen. And you might want to put your hands out just to say to God, God, I've got nothing, but would you come and fill me, Holy Spirit?